This is Morning Edition from NPR News. I'm Steve Inskeep. This week on Morning Edition, we've been examining life in Vietnam, 30 years after the Vietnam War ended. And today, we'll visit the scene of some of that war's fiercest fighting. NPR's Michael Sullivan visits the former imperial city of Hue.
The Vietnam War ended in 1975, but many say the beginning of the end came 7 years earlier, in 1968, on the eve of the Chinese New Year, or Tet. Viet Cong guerrillas launched simultaneous attacks on targets all over the south, including the capital Saigon and the former imperial city Hue. 74-year-old Hoang Xuân Bac was teaching science in Hue at the time.
It was very common back then for soldiers to shoot into the air to celebrate the eve of the Lunar New Year. So that night, when we heard the gunshots, we didn't think anything about it. But early the next morning, there was a lot of gunfire and many explosions, and people were so scared. They started running in all directions, saying the VC had come.
Viet Cong guerrillas caught the American and South Vietnamese forces by surprise. They occupied much of Hue, raising the communists' flag above the citadel of the old imperial city. Thousands of civilians died in the fighting. Thousands more on communist death lists were executed. It took U.S. and South Vietnamese troops several weeks to retake Hue block by block in one of the bloodiest battles of the war. Long before the Americans and the French before them, the emperors of Vietnam's Nguyen dynasty ruled their kingdom from Hue's imperial city. It was modeled after Beijing's Forbidden City and heavily damaged during the wars against both the French and the Americans, says Phan Thang Hai of the Hue Conservation Center. Most of the damage was done in 1946, Phan says, when French artillery destroyed many of the palaces and other buildings here. Many more were left in ruins when U.S. and South Vietnamese troops flushed the Viet Cong from the city in 1968. Nearly 40 years later, the imperial city is being restored slowly. And the theater offers tourists daily performances of court music from Vietnam's feudal pre-communist days. The Vietnamese government sees tourism as a major growth industry in a country desperately trying to make up for time and resources lost during the war years. In Hue, several new five-star hotels, some joint ventures with foreign firms, are under construction along the Perfume River, all under the watchful eye of the country's communist rulers, whose flag flies above Hue's citadel once more. Nearby Quang Tri province is just a short drive from Hue, and of all Vietnam's provinces, it is among the most scarred by the American War. Traveling to Quang Tri along Highway 1, a driver points out abandoned watchtowers and shellpock buildings along the road, carefully tended cemeteries honoring the war dead on the communist side dot the landscape. Americans remember the fight for Hue as one of the war's bloodiest battles. Many North Vietnamese remember another battle in and around the town of Quang Tri 4 years later. This morning, a group of veterans from the north has come to visit the place they call the Meat Grinder. Tran Van Mung, the group's former commander, remembers being sent here in August 1972. He came with more than 400 soldiers under his command. A couple of weeks later, fewer than 100 remained.
The fighting here was very fierce. Our regiment had plenty of experience, which helped us survive. But other units were not as experienced, suffer greatly.
It is his first visit back in more than 30 years. As he writes in the remembrance book, his script becomes increasingly illegible as he expresses his sorrow at the terrible loss of life.
Đây là 107mm.
43-year-old Pham Hung Bang kneels in a shallow pit outside Quang Tri town, displaying some of the leftover ordnance from the war, pitted, rusted, but still lethal. Mortar shells, landmines, and unexploded bombs still taking lives decades later. Pham's ordnance disposal team is one of three in the province, funded by the Vietnam Veterans Memorial Fund.
Sometimes people who don't have much money will try to dig up this ordnance in order to sell the metal for scrap. But most of the people who are killed or injured are farmers working their fields.
An estimated 38,000 people killed since the end of the war, another 100,000 wounded. The U.S. government provides some funding for cleanup operations. FAM wishes it would do far more. An hour and a half drive west, up into the hills, is the small, dusty town of Kaesong, site of the former U.S. fire base besieged by North Vietnamese forces in 1968. There's a small museum here now, a few bunkers, and a small pack of dogs surprised by visitors. Two men in baseball caps quickly pounce on a potential customer, offering battlefield souvenirs for a few dollars or less. Dog tags, some obviously fakes, and service pins and medals. Business is slow today. Not a single customer, they say, but neither seems to mind. Growing coffee pays the bills. They do this in their downtime. Things could be better, says one, 35-year-old Le Hui, but they could be a lot worse, too. He says he makes about $700 a year, which is enough, along with what he grows, to feed his family. He's too young to remember the war, but says his parents tell him life is now much easier. And my children will do even better, he says. Maybe when they get out of school, they'll move to Ho Chi Minh City or Hanoi and get good jobs there. He says most of the visitors here are Vietnamese, though he likes the Americans who come through, too. Back in a Hue coffee shop, one young man says he wishes he could see more Americans, lots more. Le Van Thuan wants to move to the U.S. When the communists took over South Vietnam in 1975, he says, his father was fired from his teaching job. The son, a follower of the outlawed Unified Buddhist Church, says life would be better if the South had won.
This government is not acceptable to me. It's a repressive government, a despotic regime. If reunification had not happened, we would have lived under a capitalist government, and our future would be brighter.
It's like North and South Korea, says another young man. If we'd stayed separate, then we'd be prosperous, too. Voices of dissent are more frequent in the former South than in the North, but most people willing to speak say they're generally satisfied with the changes here during the past 30 years. The biggest change, of course, is the absence of war. Back in Hue's Imperial City, Vietnamese tourists laugh and tease each other as they climb into royal costumes, paying $2 a shot to have their picture taken sitting on the emperor's throne. After the American War, Hue's Imperial City was neglected by the communist government in Hanoi, which viewed it as a symbol of the inequality and excesses of the pre-revolutionary past. Right after the war, few Vietnamese would have dared having their picture taken here, in the emperor's clothes, on the emperor's throne. Now they pay handsomely for the privilege. Michael Sullivan, NPR News.
Our series continues tomorrow. The Vietnamese try to forget the past and look to the future, but they cannot forget at the scene of a massacre, My Lai. Previous stories in this series are at npr.org.